morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning, witches. It is April 2nd, 2021. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. One thing I forgot to mention on Monday is this week's episodes were written and recorded March 27th. So I'm going to take a sip of my tea. And let's get going. Our quote of the day is, "There is no passion to be found playing small. In settling for a life that is less than the one you are capable of living," by Nelson Mandela. So, this week we are sharing some fun DIY recipes for experimenting with your own tea blends. This one is very simple. It is a minty sencha green. So this minty blend is great both hot and cold, but for the ultimate summer refreshment, use cold brewing technique to make an iced tea. For an extra kick, add some dried spearmint leaves. So this is essentially a green tea. So 2 scoops of green tea. If you can use sencha, cool. 1 teaspoon of dried mint and 1 teaspoon of lemongrass. You can add also cucumber to it if you want to do it iced. It sounds wonderful. Great for summer. And then another one, we have a chamomile herbal. This is 2 scoops of chamomile tea, 1/2 teaspoon of dried licorice root, and 1 teaspoon of dried ginger. If you are looking for calming tea without a caffeine, it's a good herbal one. It's great for evening because chamomile is super soothing. So I hope you guys really like the idea of some of these DIY tea recipes, and not because I think you're all going to just go out and do them, but I want to just show how you can kind of create your own blends, you know, and play with it and have fun and enjoy yourself. So. Moving into some headlines, this was actually posted on our Facebook group. Not necessarily witchy, but still pretty cool. Birds make you as happy as money, study finds. This was from the National Post. What's better, a backyard full of birds or a pay raise? When it comes to happiness, a new study suggests the richness of bird species holds more value. While it's no secret that being rich takes off much pressure from our day-to-day lives, researchers in this month's Ecological Economics Journal found living near natural surroundings, especially in areas with more species of birds, had a closer link to life satisfaction than income. Analyzing data from 26,000 adults across 26 European countries, compiled from a 2012 European Quality of Life survey, the researchers concluded that diversity in nature, especially of birds, had great influence on people's moods. So fascinating. I'll link you to that article. It has a little bit more there. When I was in school, I think we read a study or we heard of a study where basically they said money does buy happiness up to a certain amount. And I think the amount was like $75,000 a year. And they were like, money does buy happiness because it does take off pressure of paying our bills and paying student loans and like buying food. But then once you hit that number, they say at that point, no longer buys happiness. So money does buy happiness to a point. And that's what I learned in school. So fun. All right, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And then after this break, we will talk more. I have a feeling today's going to be a shorter episode. I've noticed Fridays tend to be short. And I have no idea why. It's just how the cosmics play out.
Hello to all of my astro gods and goddesses. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, April 2nd. The waning gibbous moon continues to move among the spreading fires of Sagittarius today. Things get complicated here, as there are many planets pouring fuel into Sag's fires. The trine to the Sun and Venus continue, but the moon is also met with a square to Mercury and Neptune, as well as an opposition to Mars. Normally, these squares in the opposition would knock the moon around a bit, but Mars is not feeling particularly feisty in Aries Gemini, and Mercury is a little drunk on its conjunction to Neptune in Pisces. We might not feel sure-footed today. The trine to Venus and the Sun in Aries are egging us into motion, but the rest of the energies has us staggering about, trying to find solid ground. Maybe the best thing to do is to contemplate how we'd like to advance before making any firm forward motions. If we find our minds wandering as we contemplate, let go of the need to achieve, and wait until you are ready to come back around and focus. Your daily moon mantra is, patience is the calm acceptance that things can happen in a different order than the one you had in mind. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
There are a lot of misconceptions about love magic. Many people think love and their minds just gutter to romance and sex, but love is more than that, right? It's love for friends, family, lovers, self, your pets. I mean, love is life. It is about courage, healing, confidence. So from rituals, charms, recipes, and affirmations, Witch Ways 100 Love Spells brings you many ways to bring love into your life. The power of a love is alive, diverse in practice and style, packed with practical magic for the novice and expert alike. This book offers a bit of magic for all the world's love witches. Attract love with spells, confidence, glamour, and passion. See your destiny with the power of divination. Conjure love potions and edible magic for your heart's content. Awaken and celebrate your sensuality. And then understand the ethics of love magic and free will. Witch Ways 100 Love Spells is a new book from Witch Way Magazine and its writers and contributors. It is out February 23rd, and it can be found on Amazon.com for pre-order and other places where you purchase books. All right, so we have a question from our Facebook group. This comes to us from listener Eek Spooks. Eek says, hi guys, I was wondering if you could tell me how you can differentiate between a guide spirit making contact with you or just a mundane occurrence. Oh, I love this question. I've been trying to reach out to my spirit guides. I have tinnitus, so I have constant ringing in my ears, but there are times where a specific ringing that gets pretty loud and has a definite tone, or the fact that my room gets really cold. I've been feeling a random warm hot spots lately on my hands, cheeks, and even repeating numbers. I want to believe it is something trying to show that they're there, but I have lingering doubt. Okay, yes, great question. And you're already doing it. So my advice, you're already doing it. What is the most important part when it comes to not only like divinatory work, but spirit connection, spirit contact, and meditation? Is the ability to differentiate between your own thoughts and messages. So how do you do that? Well, people don't like the answer, but you just keep doing it. You keep meditating, you keep having the experiences, and you eventually start to notice when things sound, feel, or look different. So, for example, I am someone who has stress dreams a lot. I just will have dreams where it's my first day as a barista. I'm the only one working. I don't know what I'm doing. And there's a line out the door. And it has taken me literally 12 hours to make one cup of coffee. That's a weird stress dream. I have quite a lot. But there are other types of dreams I have that are stressful. But feel different. So I'll have dreams where I'm in a certain situation, and I know it is a spiritual dream because it feels different. And I don't know how to explain how it feels different. I only know it because I've gone through it for so long and you start to notice the differences. So same with like meditation. You know when it's your own voice in your head versus another voice. And you won't know it right off the bat, but you'll know over time. And another great way to learn to differentiate is to journal, which I know I hate that advice too. I hate it too, but it's true. So for example, if you start journaling and go, well, on April 2nd, this random thought popped into my head, news about bank statements, right? And you write it down. And then maybe in a week, you look at your bank statements and realize there's a mistake. You're like, oh shit, on April 2nd, I had that thought and it was right. And then it could be April 3rd. I randomly thought about my old neighbor, but then nothing ever comes of it. And then if you keep doing that, you'll start to notice, oh, when I have thoughts that end up being correct, they maybe pop into my head at a different time, or they feel different, or they have a different tone of voice than when it's something that's nothing. So it's just an example of how witchcraft and spirituality is a lifelong journey. There is no instant anything, and a lot of these things just take a lot of time to learn and figure out. But like you said, there are times when it gets loud and has a definitive tone. So you're already doing it. You're learning this tone means something different than a different tone, right? Or the room feels cold during these times, but not these times. You're already doing it. You're on the right path. You're rocking it. So keep on it. You are a badass. I'm going to go ahead and add this to our featured on air tag. So if anyone has other advice they want to give, you can go for it. All right. And then, of course, I've said this multiple times, but for me, when you see repeating numbers, it just means you're in tuned. So I think that's a good sign as well. All right. So we have a response. Oh, it's a follow-up. Oh, yes, guys. I love follow-ups. Please follow up with me, especially if I give you advice and you do it. I want to know how it turns out, even if it's shitty. I need to know if I'm giving bad advice. So. Sarah wrote, "Hi, Tanya. I thought I'd follow up with you about my finding lost things questions that I posted on Facebook a month or two ago. Sadly, I didn't find my ring that was lost, and it feels as though it's gone from me now. I could almost see it, but now I can't, nor can I feel it. I hope that someone found it and loves it as much as I do. Thank you for the fab podcast. I've listened to the interview with Danielle about her amazing Oracle deck, and I would love to be the crone mermaid. She sounds amazing. Bless be, Sarah." Oh, you didn't find your ring. Yeah, shoot. Maybe you'll find it. But yeah, it's interesting how you say it feels gone from you now. Because that is true. There are times where I've lost something that feels like it was never even here to begin with. And later, I'll be like, oh, it's because it didn't even make it in from the car. You know what I mean? So that's really interesting. But thank you for the follow-up. Guys, I love follow-ups. Ooh, do me a favor, though. When you do a follow-up, remind me of what the thing was. You know, so don't forget. All right, witches. We have some new things to talk about today for some magic, especially since we're going into springtime and summertime and sun and people going outside. We're going to talk about the magic of gnomes, and this comes from the April 2021 issue of Witch Way magazine, and this was written by Callie Luther. Gnomes, yes, the pointy-hatted, chubby little statues that can be found in the tacky gardens of the world are ancient and magical beings. They are scattered throughout European folklore, going by different names such as little people, dwarves, tomty, and leprechauns. These little creatures have their origins in the midst of time as a elemental spirit. They were thought to work underground, having complete control of the earth itself. They helped the earth grow and protected it from threats. As time progresses, the view of these little people changes. Now, in Swedish lore, for example, they are believed to work above ground in the stables and farms, helping farmers have a successful crop. People began giving these spirits physical forms when sculpture became popular. In fact, during the Renaissance period, many miniature statues were constructed that represented gods and goddesses to be placed in gardens. This is where the idea of placing statues in our yards comes from. Later on, many people across the European countries started putting out garden gnomes made of terracotta slurry in their yards. Again, reinforcing this idea. In Switzerland and Germany, they began making the gnomes out of white clay to be used as good luck charms in the home. In the 19th century, the mountainous people of Interlaken and Lucerne began carving these figures out of wood with the belief that the spirits would help them in the woods and mines that surrounded their home. Regardless of the lore or time frame, gnomes are known to be close with the earth and have therefore landed themselves in our garden. Today we still use gnomes in many ways. They protect our gardens, help our plants grow. We can use them in our practice as a way to connect to the earth on a deeper level. I personally like to sculpt my own gnomes and place them in my garden, around my house, and use them as a meditation tool. I sculpt them out of red and white clay, depending on my intention. Red for those that will be tasked with the care of my garden, and white for those that will remain indoors, bringing good luck to my home. Another great use of a gnome sculpture is to be a sacred object. Use it in rituals that are meant to, meant to be with the earth, or even as your earth symbol on your altar. The possibilities are endless, and it's almost like having a little friend with you all the time. However, it's important to remember that you are still working with the energies of the earth, so you must respect the mindful, chubby little friends. So, yeah. I love this. Because I'm going to be honest, I've never thought too much of gnomes. I've always known that gnomes are part of, like, the fae. But I've never put a lot of thought into it. Like, at all. Alright, witches. So, here's the thing. We can't do a card pull today. And the reason why is actually weirdly related to our follow-up question. I think I got, like, a tester deck, like a prototype deck. So, you know, with prototype decks, there's sometimes mistakes. And I remember when I got the deck, there was this random little card in there that had like the tiger definition, and it just seemed really out of place, and I was really confused. And I think I like accidentally threw it away or lost it. And we just pulled the tiger for today, and I don't have the tiger definition. So that was my fault. That was my bad. So we have no card pull today, but know in your hearts that it's the tiger. So that's all I've got for you today. We are going to do some shout outs. I want to give a shout out to listener Christina Gerritsen. Christina, you graceful, formidable spinster. I also want to give a shout out to listener Don Howard. Don, you splendid Wendigo. And then finally, Garasu, you wicked, noble witch. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Enjoy springtime. We're finally having good weather again. It's been pouring down on us all week, and literally as I'm sitting here, the sun shifted and all of the beautiful rays of sunlight are streaming into my apartment, and it's wonderful. So hope you guys have a great day, and we will talk again next week.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.